Hi guys, welcome back to Trust Me, We Get You. My name's Karen.
My name is Erica, and we are your hosts for today's podcast. Welcome back. We have another episode, and I guess on this episode, we're going to talk about things that we feel terribly guilty for, but we shouldn't. And it just came out of like a conversation that we were having the other day. I was at work and Karen was not. She was home. But, you know, we always encounter ourselves with this work talk. And then we were like, dude, like, why is it that every time we want to ask off from work or like we need our vacation or something, at least I feel like it's kind of like, should I or should I not?
Yeah. For me, I think I like never ask off for work. I really don't because I'm a travel nurse. So I always have like months off in between because I'm that person that takes more time than I should or shouldn't. I don't even know. See, that's me feeling guilty. But I usually take at least 2 months off in between contracts. And that's the part that I feel guilty for. Like, I feel like I need that time off to recuperate because working is stressful and working in the hospital is very stressful these days. But I was off for 3 months this time, which is a really long time to be off of work. I had the money to sustain myself, but I was telling Erica, because I kept seeing her going to work, I was like, dude, I'm getting to a point where like I feel guilty for just doing nothing. Like, I obviously was doing the podcast with Erica, and then I started doing my own Etsy shop with my cousin and working with polymer clay and making earrings and things like that. But as soon as I wasn't doing something productive and I was just like having fun and going skating or longboarding or just staying at home watching TV all day, even if I went to the gym to do something like proactive, I felt this guilt and it was starting to consume me where I just felt so like not worth it. Like, I just started to feel guilty. And it was this way where I'm like, wow, I'm a POS just because I'm not at work doing what I should be doing.
I don't know, because like I also feel the same way, even on my, like what you said, like on my days off too. Like, I guess because at work I'm like so systematic. Like, I start this and I do this and I'm doing this and I, you know, then I have to run the analysis that I have to run. Then I have to put in samples and I have to send emails. And like every day is like that. Like on my days off, I'm the same way. Like, I have to be up by 9 a.m. I have to, what am I doing healthy for myself? Because, you know, it's like the whole thing with like self-care and all yeah. this. Like, okay, what am I going to do? Am I going to work out? I have to work out because, you know, like I was too tired to work out after work. So I must work out. And then like, I would try to schedule because I only have 2 days to do everything I have to do. Did I hang out with my family? Did I hang out with my friends? I have to schedule everything in to this 2 days off in parentheses, because it's like, they're not off. You know what I mean? Like yeah. to me, like, because I don't, you know, like I, you know, everybody has different schedules with work and everything else. And like, unlike you, I, you know, like the times that I do take off are for like vacations. And then the rest of the time is like, because I feel like Jason tells me, take time off to just stay home. I'm like, that's a waste of time. Like, what are you talking about?
Yeah, I like can't a staycation.
Sit at home. Like, that's insane. And I'm like, I'm not going to take my time off. If I take time off, it's definitely to go somewhere and travel. And we can't. So I'm not taking time off. And he's like, oh my gosh, you're going to like, this is how you burn yourself down, because you need to just relax. And I'm like, if I stay home and try to relax for more than 3 days, like, as much as I say that I hate going to work, like, if I don't have a system, I'm going to, like, drive crazy. So I understand what you're talking about having all that time off. But at the same time, it's so annoying because, like, on my days off, I'm the same way. I'm, like, trying to do as much as possible. And then it's, like, at the end of the day, like, by the second day in the afternoon, like, today I'm, like, tired. Like, I'm like, I haven't even rested, and those are the days that you're supposed to rest. And on top of that, you have like all the chores of the house and this and that, and I'm like, all right.
Oh my God.
So I don't know
do you think because we're talking prior to starting this podcast, like this episode, that we've seen a few shows, how they talk about like the European way and how they say that Europeans in comparison. And I think even certain like Hispanic culture does this too, but there's like a delight and a pleasure in actually taking time for leisure. Whereas like here, I feel like in America, it's frowned upon to take time to yourself and have a staycation and just enjoy the liberty of doing nothing. Do you think it's just like our culture, the American culture?
Definitely.
Yeah.
It was funny because we were talking about, I was talking about this with my mom's husband, and he literally said, there's one thing that you need to know if you're an immigrant. If you don't like to work, do not come to the United States, because you come here to work pretty much. Like, that's going to be your life. And then I was like, because I came here to the States when I was 10, but I was like, if I would have come to the States, like in my 20s, I wouldn't have lasted more than 3 years. I would have been back already, because it's like the way we work here is exhausting and it's addicting. Because yeah. I mean, obviously, you know, everybody's like work hard, play hard, whatever. But it's like, I don't know. I feel like the breaks are not, for example, in Colombia, like when the whole country is like, take your day off and everything closes. It doesn't matter what it is that you have to do. Like, everything stops because it's like, you know, it's a national day off, and they have like national days off every other Monday. So it's like, we have literally in our country, I think it's like a total of 14 holidays or something like that, or less. So, and not everybody gets, you know, paid holidays or even like those days off at all. So I definitely think it's part of the culture. Is
yeah,
like 100%.
Now that you mentioned that, actually, my cousin, so I have this cousin who's around our age. I'm 28, so I think she's 28 as well. Yeah. And she came from Colombia with a visa and everything, with the hopes of, you know, seeing what the American dream was, seeing how like our culture is in comparison. And she had a very difficult time with that, like extremely difficult, because she's a reporter out in Colombia, just like every other girl in Colombia, because I feel like everyone's a journalist or a reporter out there. But she came over, and I think they had offered her a job for Univision, and she went in there to do like, what is that called? It's not really a job. You're like working for free.
Internship?
Yeah, like she got an internship there. Mm-hmm. And I think she was having difficulty being accustomed to our habits and things like that. Like, the way we work is work, 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 work. And when there's time for a break, you take a break. It's not really like you get a specific break at this time. Mm-hmm. And I think she was accustomed that back in Colombia, like they would take multiple breaks and they would have a full course meal and do all these things. And I'm not saying that that's how it is every job in Colombia, obviously.
No, not. Definitely not.
Yeah.
Yeah.
Because I'm like,
I mean, obviously, journalism over there, it's very important over there, because yeah, you know, it's a very political place. But at the same time, I feel like in that media of work,
like that industry,
more lenient.
Yeah,
because you kind of have to share with the people and ideas and stuff, so it's
right,
like, you know. Yeah, maybe. I don't know
because I'm like, I've never lived in Colombia. Like, my family's Colombian, but I've never lived there. So like the industry that she comes from, and like her dad's a very well-known reporter over there, but mm-hmm. So she came here thinking like, okay, like I'm gonna have all these breaks and I'm gonna do things a certain way. And then she realized here it's like go, 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 go. And then if you can catch a break, cool. If not, then you just keep working. And like, you're going to work hard for your dreams because that's what you want. And I'm not saying that that's right. It's just the way that most jobs are here, where it's like, if you want to be a doctor, if you want to do this, if you want to do that, like you're going to probably overwork yourself, even though you don't want to achieve your goal of whatever dream job it is that you want. And then possibly burn yourself out along the way. And she was just not used to it. And it just seemed so difficult for her. She went back to Colombia and she still has like the dream of coming back, but she knows that now, like with the experience she had here, that things aren't as, I guess, fun and like laid back as they are in other places. And I know it's very, very difficult to get a job in Colombia unless you like know people, because that's like another struggle from Colombia to here is like here I feel like the work is there and it's difficult work.
The opportunities are definitely more
here. But it's also like you're dedicating your life to work. Whereas Colombia, I feel like you don't have as many opportunities to work, but when you do have them, then I feel like people stay in their jobs forever in Colombia.
Yeah, they do.
Like you're not just jumping around because jobs don't come as easy. So you see people in the same job in the same industry for years upon years.
Yeah, until they retire pretty much.
Yeah. But that's definitely something I feel guilty for, is just like doing nothing on my days off. And lately I feel so emotionally drained that I don't even want to do the things like my hobbies that I usually do. I'm just like, oh, fuck it. Like, I don't want to do that right now. I'll come back to it later though.
Not there anymore.
That's one of those things. But what else do you feel guilty for? Because I know it's not only leisure. We have like,
I think everybody could probably relate to the next one I'm gonna say, and it's canceling on plans, whether it is with like friends or people or family members. I think that one is a big one. Like, you know, sometimes you the vibe's not it, like you're not part of their vibe, like you're just off, and it feels really guilty. Like I feel guilty, like if I say yes to something, and it happens to me all the time, because I think we're both like this. We were both like, oh yeah, like I'll totally go, no problem, you want me to bring something, let's go. And then when the time comes and you're like, oh my gosh, why did I say yes to this? Like,
I feel like me and you are very understanding of each other though. Because I feel like even with the podcast, like we'll set up plans for like, hey, let's do the podcast on this day. And if one of us is like, hey, I really can't, or even if it's the same day where I'm like, we're just not feeling it, or like one of us isn't feeling it, I feel like the other one, whether it's you or I, like always are like, no, it's okay. Like, let's not do it. Or let's just do it a different day when like we're both up for it.
So I think also because with the podcast especially is, we've already tried recording on days where like one of us was not feeling it and it was a complete fail. So it was more of a waste of time than actually. So we're like, you know what? If one of us is not feeling it, we're not doing it. Like, end of story. Because it's like, we know it's not gonna click, and it's just not gonna be a good episode.
Yeah, so it's just ending a big waste of time.
Yeah.
But I do feel like me and you are very similar with the whole like being yes men and being like, yeah, I'll go. Yeah, I'll do it. And like, sometimes we do, like, I know in my perspective, like if someone's like, hey, let's plan for this day. And like, maybe in that day that they're telling me, I'm very excited. And I'm like, yeah, let's freaking do it. Like I'm stoked. And then the day comes and I'm feeling like emotionally drained or like physically drained from work, or I just don't feel like up for it, then I feel guilty for being like, I don't feel up for it. But I'm starting to learn how to communicate like, hey, like I did feel like I was up for it, but this is what's going on. And I think people need to be more understanding of others, that we're not always going to feel okay. And sometimes when you make plans, you feel great, and maybe when the day comes, like, you don't feel great.
I feel like that all the time. I feel like for everything that
you have more friends than I do though, because right now, like, since I moved to Vegas, I don't feel like I have like a ton of friends, so that doesn't happen.
But that's what I'm saying, like, even if it's just going to my mom's house, like I could be like the day before, I could be like, yeah, I'll go tomorrow, let's go have some coffee, like with, like, I don't know, with whatever, with the pastry. And then the next day I'm so exhausted, I'm literally dry, like, you know. You know, like the babies when they're dragging their like little dinky. I'm like, literally, that's what I feel like. And I feel so bad because, you know, like.
But sometimes I feel like it's just not as bad as what it seems. Like, have you ever had that happen too, where you're like, oh, I really don't want to go, I'm just like not in the mood, and then you do go and it ends up being like a good experience and you're like, actually, I'm glad.
That has happened to me. But I think the worst out of everything is getting ready for the thing. To me, like, that is my worst nightmare, is let's say, having to go to someone's birthday dinner, right? And then I have to get ready. And then it's like, okay, I get out of the shower, it's fine. And then you have the outfit and you put it on and it does not look. Didn't this happen in New Year's?
Dude.
Remember? Yeah. I was like, oh my God, I had this outfit in mind. And then I send you a picture and you're like, dude, no, don't.
Yeah, I was like,
that's, I don't even want to go anymore. And you're like, how? Like, you have to wear something else. And I'm like, I don't know what
I think it's because you wanted to wear something that was like not very New Year's. And I was trying to get you into the mood, like, dude, this is New Year's. Like,
oh, yeah, because I always think I look like
everything for you is like a hoe. I swear, it'll be like,
no, I feel like one little shoulder too much. And it's like showing my wrist. This and I'm like, it's showing too much.
Like, I'm showing too much skin. And I'm like,
I'm like this. I'm like, I'm showing too much
skin. I know. Like, sometimes I feel like Erica just wants to. I think that was what was happening. But you ended up looking great. And
but the thing is, like, I had like a shirt with pants that, like, when you hang them, it looks nice. But then when you put them on, no. So I start having breathing. I can't breathe. I'm like, fuck this. I don't even want to go. Like, whatever. So then, like, I try to do my makeup, the eyeliner of this side looks like this, the one of this one looks like this, and then I'm like, what the heck. So all of that gives me anxiety. And once, like, if that whole like moment of getting ready doesn't work, then I'm like, I'm not going. And then Jason's always like, oh my god, dude, like, really, like, how did you go from being so excited to hating going? Like,
I know. But now that you say that, like, the whole family thing, I'm excited because my parents are moving here to Vegas. So I think it's going to be cool because, like, I miss certain things, mostly my dad, like, his cooking. I'm like, oh, okay, it's going to be great. Like, but also I'm dreading it because I know once my parents get here, you know, I'm like, I don't know if this is everyone's parents, but when they're like, you live close by where they need help with like technology or like installing something, or like even with Netflix, like, oh, I logged out, or like, can you come over and help me print this, or like, oh, I don't understand this, can you come over and explain? Like, I hate that shit. And like, sometimes, like, if I am there, like, I'll go visit and they'll be like, oh, now that you're here, like, can you update my phone because my phone is this, and like, that always happens. And I'm just like not in the mood all the time to be like, yeah, let me sit down and like let me figure out what's wrong with your phone. And like, there are certain things, like my dad would ask me like, oh, I can't log into my bank account. And I'm like, well, I don't know how to log into your bank account. I don't know your freaking password and stuff. And it was like those issues where it was just like generational, where I'm like, oh. And then I feel guilty for not helping because I'm like, am I not a good daughter?
Yeah. So you just let them suffer forever and they don't know what to do. And then you're just like, I guess I have to help you because I don't have another option.
Which brings up the next topic, which is like something that I feel guilty for that I shouldn't, is like putting myself, or like what's going to benefit me, or like maybe something good for me, over what's going to be better for my parents. Yeah. Like, I hate that I feel this way, but like recently, and I was telling Erica this, is like my parents had asked for me to buy a house under my name, but for them. And like, I don't know anything about that. So I had asked a few other people that I know. I'm like, hey, what do you guys think about me buying a house under my name for my parents? And they're like, well, you're going to lose all your benefits for like first home buyer. And I'm like, I didn't even know that, because I had no plans of honestly buying a house anytime soon. But then I had told my parents that I was like, hey, like, now that I'm aware of these benefits, like, you guys have already bought a house multiple times, like throughout my lifetime. And like, I don't know, maybe before I was even born, like, I want to have that benefit for myself. And I felt so guilty telling them that, like, if I was committing a crime for not putting their needs above my own. Like, do you get like that?
Yeah, definitely. I think I was like that for a while, because like my parents before the divorce, like, they had a foreclosure in the house, mm-hmm. which meant they weren't going to get a house. Like, after that one.
Yeah.
So, you know, I was already early 20s. So my dad was like, we're going to get a house with your credit. And I was like, no, you're not. We're going to rent because we're not using my credit for that. He was so mad because he was like, you know, he tried to guilt me. Back in the day, he was like, well, we're your parents and we pretty much like give you all you have. So he didn't say it like that, obviously, but he was kind of like telling me that. And I was just like, well, you can't do it without my permission. So you're going to have to rent or figure another way to do it. Or I don't know. And then he was like struggling because he's like, how old are we going to get a house? Anyway, that didn't happen. But then again, later on, I had to help my mom because, you know, she was by herself. So I had to use my first time homeowner benefits for her with a loan. And then now that I am, you know, thinking of starting a life with my fiance, his mother is trying to change the loan that she has under his name. So like, you know, or get a name. I don't know how that works, to be honest, like the whole switching the things under his name. But eventually they said that the first time homeowner things could be affected under him. So I'm like, okay, so now neither of us is going to get the first time homeowner like benefits because we're both giving it to our parents. So what are we going to do? Like, we're not going to, like, you know what I mean? And like, our parents have had homes that, like you said, have had stuff and we haven't. And it's like, we shouldn't feel guilty, but I feel like kind of parents do guilt you into that.
Like, I feel like they do. And I don't know if it's just like a Hispanic parent thing or if it's an everyone parent thing.
I feel like they're like, well, we're the parents and yeah, we sustained you for 18 or whatever years.
But so I also feel like that's a cultural thing. And if it's not, please leave in the comments because we're going to post this on YouTube also. So like, I would like to know like everyone's cultural background and whether or not your parents are like this, because I just want to know like if this is just like an our parents thing or if this is like, no, this is just everyone's parents.
And just an FYI, at least for me, like I'm not the type of person who's gonna put my mom in like an asylum or in like home care. Like I know that if
no one's gonna put their
mom in an asylum, I don't know, like a nursing home. Like, I don't want people to think like, oh, these are like bad daughters who don't take care of their parents.
Well, as a nurse, I don't think I would want that for my parents either. Not even my mom.
It's not that I don't want to take care of my mother or like anything like that, but it's just that there's certain things that, you know, they're just for you and you shouldn't feel guilty. Like, why do I still feel even guilty talking about
it? I know. I was like, are they going to listen to this? They're not going to listen to this.
Who knows? And if they do, well, I love you guys.
I don't think my parents, I mean, I know my parents aren't going to listen to this unless
no, I know my parents are not going to listen to
blows up and we become fucking famous, which I really, even if I want to manifest that, I don't think that's going to happen anytime soon to the point where like,
who knows? Okay. Just,
I know, but I'm saying like, for them to be like, I'm going to listen to this specific episode.
I feel like even if they listen to, they like already kind of know. So
yeah. No, but that's something I really feel guilty for. And I think like my brother definitely was like, Karen, it's something you should do. And I was like, don't come here at me like that. I'm like, you already bought a house. Why don't you?
Why didn't he do it?
Yeah. But
why didn't he do it before he got his house?
Exactly. That's my perspective. But then he was like, what if you just co-sign this loan, blah, blah, blah. And I'm like, it's the same stuff. I did tell them though, however, I was like, I will lend you however much money you need because I do have the money in my savings from like all these contracts, but it's for my student loan. It's not like money that I'm planning on like blowing and like doing fun things with. It's just all this money that I'm saving for my to pay off my student loan. So I told him like, listen, I'm putting that money in my savings account. And if you guys need money to establish yourselves in Vegas while you figure things out and like just need money for like a down payment on the house, then I can lend you that money. That's fine. Like, I'm not going to be like, no, I'm not going to help you out if I have more than, you know, enough to help them in that department, I guess. Mm-hmm. So I don't know. It's something I still feel guilty for, but I'm trying not to make myself feel guilty because they've lived, you know, and they have had homes and they've had those opportunities. And it's like, I'm not trying to be selfish, but I also don't want to rob myself those opportunities when they've had them themselves, you know?
Yeah.
And that doesn't mean I don't love them or I don't care for them, because I really do. And I will help them in any way possible, but I just want to have something for myself.
Yeah. No, I get you. Yeah. But I mean, it is what it is for them. We're going to help them eventually. But talking about help, like, that comes in with another one that we sometimes feel guilty for, and it's like asking for help. Sometimes, you know, when you need help, I don't know, maybe decorating something that you're going to plan or stuff like that. It's really like, you know, you can't do it alone. Like, you know, you're going to need somebody else there with you. But it's like asking for that is kind of awkward. And I don't know, sometimes I could feel like that too, or maybe like picking something up, and it's like, you don't want to ask a guy because you don't want it to be like that guy versus girl. Yeah. Like, oh, you can't because you're a girl. Like, does that ever happen to, like, does being a girl sometimes make you feel guilty that you're not supposed to ask a guy because you're like, oh, he's a guy and he's going to think I'm weak, you know?
No, I actually just have so much trauma from my mom, because my mom was like, this was her number one motto. Dude, this podcast is going to hear so much fucked up, like, teachings from my mother. But, like, my mom was very much like, don't come knocking on my door if I don't come knocking on yours. And, like, she was very much like, you don't ask anyone for anything ever. And, like, even if we had things and, like, we stopped talking to a person, like, let's say me and you are best friends, and, like, I left my Nintendo Switch over at your house or something of, like, high value, my mom would be like, if you're no longer that person's friend, that shit doesn't exist to you. You're not claiming it, and you're going to buy yourself another one, and that's it. Like, you disconnect completely, and you should never ask anyone for help. So I literally was the type of person that, like, even if I had to move from, like, apartments, I still wouldn't ask anyone, like, hey, can you help me move? Like, in my head, I was planning on how to break everything down and, like, make it so I could move.
Extreme.
I know, it is so extreme. And, like, I was like that. And I think, like, certain people I've dated in the past have, like, corrected that mentality because it was so toxic. And I realized, like, dude, sometimes you do have to ask for help. Like, it's human nature. Like, if you want to get far, I think there's, like, that, what is it, that's African proverb where it's like, if you want to go fast, go alone, but if you want to go far, go together.
Oh, okay. And,
yeah, and, like, I always remember that, where I'm like, wow, that really is true. Because if you do want something done, like, quick, like, it's obviously quicker to do it by yourself, but if you want to go and, like, go further in life, you really do need people along the way to, like, help you get there. And now I trust certain people. Like, I'm taking baby steps into that, but I'll trust, like, you, and I'll trust Jay, and, like, certain people in my life where I'll be like, hey, can you help me, like, move? But usually I don't ask at all. I just, like, say, hey, I have to move. And then, like, if that person offers, I'm like, God bless. And luckily I've had close friends or family that have been, they just offer, and I'm like, yeah. And that's it.
Yeah. You know what else too? Like, maybe on information that you don't know. So maybe, like, if you don't want to sound stupid, or, like, maybe because, like, you know that they're going to take, like, time to explain, you know, certain things. So it's like little things for me. For example, I have a friend who she does, like, cute little things for social media. And, like, for the podcast, I was asking her, like, it was so weird. Like, to me, I just felt so embarrassed. Like, oh, my God, I don't know how to do this. Like, can you help me? I'm, like, not tech savvy. And she's like, it's fine, whatever.
Is it the friend that I think it is?
Yeah, it is her.
Okay. Because I love her content, too.
I have, like, total, like,
did she explain stuff to you?
A little bit, yeah. Okay. We're going to get together, and she's going to explain cool. it to me. But the thing is that, like, she's also, like, a creative. So I don't, like, I don't know when I'm, like, especially when you have
people. You don't want to take advantage.
Exactly. And sometimes I feel like I might be taking advantage, but at the same time, I know they're, like, friends. So yeah. It's, like, I shouldn't feel like that. But let's say, for example, if it's something that I know, like, she doesn't, I don't know, like, if it's something that I know that she usually charges for, I would pay her, like, I'm not the type of friend who's, like, telling you to do free favors, you know what I mean? But I don't want to overstep. but I know that she's not going to charge me for anything because I'm not asking for anything that has to do with what she does for her, for a living. So to me, it's just, it feels awkward to ask for little favors for people that maybe know a little bit more of something that I don't. I think it's just a little awkward for me, but I'm trying to like figure out, like, I don't know what to say. Like, I get tongue twisted and like, I don't even know how to ask. It's like, hey, do you think you can help me do this?
Okay, very Gen Z. But sometimes like even offering like, hey, like, I don't mind paying you for like whatever time, just even if you know that they're going to say no, like, you're my friend, I'm obviously gonna help you, like, just
yeah,
put that out there and be like, hey, like, if you want, like, I can pay you for this time, I really don't mind, like, I appreciate your creative content and like the things that you know, and I do realize that that's work. And I think that's another very difficult one. And like, now that you mention it, Jason's cousin, which he obviously does digital design, digital art. And I felt like everyone would come to him all the time.
That's where I was going to go next. Like, with creatives, is that like what you're saying?
Like, people will take advantage. And I felt bad because I also would do that. I would be like, hey, can you help me with this? Can you help me with this brand? Can you help me with this logo? And like, you need to realize, like, the people who are in creative arts as their job, like, yes, it is something that maybe we see as a hobby, but it's also a job. And like, we should be paying them for that like stuff. Or like, if you need a logo and you know your friend does logos, like, offer them. Maybe they can give you a discount, maybe not, who cares? Like, you're supporting them. And like, let's be realistic, you would have to pay anyone else for a logo or anything it may be. Or even if it's just like a song, like, I know Erica's friends are into music and things like that, like, maybe for like the intro of one of our podcasts, we could ask one of your friends, like, hey, do you think you could develop an intro for our podcast? And we'll be willing to pay you for that service.
Yeah. So I have an example with that. Like, Jason's brother, he's a audio engineer, and he's been doing free intros for podcasters. Like, he goes out of his way, and he lasts like nights. Like, he does other audio stuff, obviously, with like producers and stuff. But like, with different podcasts, he, without them asking, like, he does like little snippets, and he does like all these things for them, and he does it for free. And I'm like, really? He's like, I just feel so bad asking for money because like, I enjoy doing this. And I'm like, you need to ask for money. And that's another thing too, that like, I was asking my, also like some of my friends who have like also another creatives jobs and work and careers. And they're like that. It's like, you know, sometimes people don't appreciate like what you do, and like, it does feel weird to ask for what you're really worth. So you want to always price down, but in reality, like, you see other people do like more like crappy work and they're getting paid way more, and you're, yeah, just like, I do, like, they know they do so much better, and they're not willing to ask like thousands of dollars. And that's the same thing that used to happen to Jason, because Jason, before like being a nurse, he was into photography and he had his own company and everything. But he used to see how much people were charging for weddings, and it's like thousands of dollars. And he was just like, this is, he's the type of person who would never,
yeah,
ever give the person like, oh, like, charge the person over $200 for like a whole photo session, edits, pictures and everything. And I'm like, you do know.
And he does a good job. Like, side note, I actually have this photo of him.
Oh,
I know. Next to my podcast section. And it's like, it is super cute.
Yeah.
And he does incredible work. It's just, I understand, Jason.
So I understand that he does like really good like portraits, and he does all these other stuff. And I'm like, you should be charging more, because you're doing this, you're spending hours taking pictures, you're spending hours doing edits, like, you do, you know, like, your equipment, all these other things, like, all these people are charging so much money and their pictures look like this.
I think that's the thing too, like, anyone who has a camera is like, yes, I get it. Like, I do think that if you want to be a photographer, you have to start somewhere. If you want to be a musician, you have to start somewhere with anything. Like, you're not going to be the best photographer, the best singer, unless you're like that talented. Cause some people are born with talent and like they can pick up a camera and like become one of the best photographers. Same thing with musicians and same things, but like not everyone's that lucky. And I think that's
people that are super talented without like going to school, but there's other people who have gone years of schooling and they got to be really good. And even like both sides are already like maybe like over here because either talent or education, but then the people that are over here want to charge like thousands of dollars and they are charging and they're getting paid that much money. And I feel like that's where it gets kind of like weird because they're like, that's not fair, but I'm also not going to charge $3,000 for something that I know it's not that bad. But I'm like, it's so weird, you know, because it's like, do you charge a lot because the person who's doing a crappy job is charging so much, or do you charge the fair price and then it's going to look like you're not worth that much? You know what I mean?
I think that also comes with like all our personalities, me, you, Jason, Julian, like we have this personality trait where we can be very people pleasing and like that can be toxic in itself, where it's like sometimes I think, not that we want people to like us, because I don't think we care so much about that. It's just we want to be fair with everything that we do. And sometimes we're putting people's needs above our own. And I think that can also be like a bad thing at times. Not always, because I think it's more of a good trait than a bad one. But I think that's where you get lost in the sauce, because it's like just like his work, I feel like, is valuable. And it's just not knowing how to make others see that. If that makes sense.
Yeah.
But yeah, so that's definitely something to feel guilty for. And I know a lot of people who are in the creative arts do feel guilty for like selling their work. And it's like, you really shouldn't. Like, you really should not. If that's your job, then you got to do what you got to do.
Yeah. Dude, that's insane. I don't know. Do we have any other ones that we were looking into for?
Yes. Oh my God. I have one. I have like two, and I'm pretty sure it's because I'm mentally ill, but one of them is spending money. So as a travel nurse, I make pretty good money, and I try to keep that money in a savings, like I said, for my student loan. But any money that I'm not contributing to my student loan or to things like that, like bills and even other people, like I feel so guilty for spending money. And it's not like I'm spending a shit ton of money all the time. It's just, obviously I like fashion and like clothing and things like that. And like some hobbies, like making the earrings or skating and things like that. So when I spend money on clothes or like rollerblades and things for my hobbies, I end up feeling really guilty. Like so guilty that I feel like, why do I deserve to buy this? And I think this comes from like a second generation to immigrant parents, like feeling, because I feel like my parents didn't have much throughout their lifetime. And throughout like when I was very young and I was a child, I felt like it was just, they did what they could and they gave with what they had. But I feel like, oh wow, like I'm spending all this money on things that like, why? Like, do I deserve to have that? Do you feel that?
I do feel that. Especially as an immigrant, because I, like, in Colombia, we came from a family that pretty much my dad worked really hard to get to, like, a really good place economically. But once we moved to the States, it was not like that, of course. So, like, growing up as a teenager, obviously my parents tried their best, but it wasn't, like, you know, the opportunities that I have now. You know, like them as my age now, they would have never had like as many things or like the opportunities that I have. So yeah, obviously I feel the same. I feel like, I don't know, like I feel like I shouldn't buy certain things. Or I kind of hate going shopping sometimes because I'm like, I should not be buying things. I should maybe, you know, like use it for something else, like something more important. Yeah. Whatever it is, there's... I don't know, if I want clothes, I'm like, oh, I have enough clothes. Like, I don't need clothes. And then I have the same shirt for like 8 years.
Dude, I'm like the exact same way. Like now I've honestly, if what I do with all my clothes is I just take it to Savers and then I try to buy use clothes from Savers as well, so I don't feel as guilty. But I still, like, even when I buy things that are not from thrift shops and stuff, I end up feeling really, really guilty. And, like, I justify not feeling guilty with, like, how bad a day of work is. So the other day, I, like, went to Zara, and I think I bought, honestly, it wasn't even expensive. Like, I bought shorts for $30, and then I bought a shirt for $10 and another shirt for $10. And whatever, I was like, okay. And, like, I went home. I had also gone to Lush and bought, like, a bunch of hair care products because my hair, like, was so damaged and dry. I just had to buy, like, good quality products. But I was like, wow, I spent $100 at Lush. Like, what the fuck? And that one really impacted me. I was like, I really shouldn't have. The next day, I woke up, went to work, and I had a shitty shift. It was like the worst 12 hours of my life, where every hour felt like a whole day. And it was so agonizing. And I just kept telling myself, like, okay, I deserved what I bought. I deserved what I bought. And then I was like, you know what? Like, this is why I can buy things. And it's like, wow, I really have to talk myself, like, in order to feel less guilt for what I buy, I have to say, like, okay, like, how shitty a shift goes. Yeah. Justifies me buying things. And I'm like, I really shouldn't feel that way, because it's like,
you're like, I have a toxic behavior with my spending.
Yeah. And it's like, like, if it's money, like, whether it was the worst shift or the best shift, it's still time that I'm working. Like, I should just be okay with that. It shouldn't have to be a shitty shift for me to feel okay to buy things or spend.
Yeah. Yeah. I also think, when I was thinking about that part of, because of the second immigrant, like, you know, generation family, but it can also go the other way around. Because I have a friend at work who, her mom, you know, like, her and her mom came here when they were really young, and she was only, like, a year old. So, obviously, her mom didn't have much growing up, and she was a single mom, so she pretty much did everything, you know, and she worked really hard. But now that, you know, her daughter, which is one of my coworkers, has, you know, she's good. She spends so much money, so much money. And she's like, she tells me, he's like, how is it that you don't spend as much money? And I'm like, I don't know. I think I'm traumatized, because I think that, like, it's going to end, you know? So I'm like, no, I can't spend money, because then what if I don't? And she's like, I think the total opposite. She's like, since I didn't have anything growing up, I want to have it all now, because what if things change? And what if something happens to me and I didn't get to enjoy everything that I worked so hard for? And then to my mom, she's like, whatever she wants, I just get it for her, because I know she struggled so much, you know, while she was having me as a single mom and my siblings, that I'm like, whatever you want, like, you want a house here, like, buy you a house. You want this here, like, you want a designer purse, like, she gets it for her. And she's the same thing with her kids and herself. And I'm like, do you have any savings? And she's like, no, I don't believe in that.
I could never, like, I make
money. I think that, like, that whole thing of coming from nothing and, like, maybe having.
It could go both ways.
You could go both ways. And I wanted to share that with you, because that you're like, you know, you and Julian have the opposite, but.
Yeah.
This girl has, like, the complete over-compulsive buying problem, because she didn't have anything when she was growing up. She's like, I didn't even have cereal. I didn't know what cereal was. Like, you know, and I'm like, that is the cheapest thing you can eat. Like, what did you eat? She's like, she would tell me, and I'm like, I don't even know. Like, I was like, what the heck?
My parents did not have much. It was actually so bad economically. I think what they did is they claimed bankruptcy, and I wasn't supposed to be born. I wasn't, like, a plan. I was obviously surprise, I'm here, you know? And it was so bad that my parents were so bad off economically that my mom actually considered aborting me. But here I am. And, like, why did my mom tell me this news?
I don't know. This was
pre. She's like, let me add some more trauma.
This was pre Kanye.
I was like, what the fuck? But she did tell me
that. Like, you're like the Northwest to your family.
Dude, I don't know what the fuck. But my dad, at least, says he's so grateful I was born. But like, he actually stopped that, and he told my mom, like, no, we gotta have this kid. Like, my dad's so like positive, optimistic, and he's very like old school. Like, his saying is like, donde come uno, comen dos, comen tres. Like, where one can eat, two can eat, three can eat, we'll all be together. It doesn't matter what. So he convinced my mom, like, to obviously have me, which is why I'm here today talking. Well, and
to Karen's dad.
Yeah. But my aunt, which passed away, but my dad's sister had actually offered to adopt me. And my dad was like, no, we'll like take care of it. They were very, very poor in this situation. And I remember eating
raw. I mean, if they're trying to decide whether to
have me or not, yeah. And I mean, like, three kids is a lot when like they both make minimum wage. But I remember when you're little, you don't know you're poor until you grow up and you realize.
You think you're having the best time ever.
You're like, this is quality, like Maruchan 99-cent ramen, like fire. So like, my mom would make that
dollar menu of McDonald's. Let's go. That's my favorite.
My mom would make that all the time, is like Maruchan, and then like, she would make the little 99-cent ramen with freaking popcorn and throw that on top. My mom doesn't love to cook, clearly. And she would make us like tuna fish sandwiches, and we would eat Vienna sausages. And like, now looking back, I'm like, no wonder I eat how I eat unless I'm like buying it from the outside. But
no wonder I was an obese preteen.
I was fat as fuck. I used to weigh so much more than what I actually weigh now. Like, no joke. And like, all my preteen photos are like, I was thick. But anyways, that's other traumas. But yeah, like, you don't realize you're poor until like you grow up and you actually have adult money and you're no longer in that standpoint. But it's because of that I'm like, I feel this guilt. So it's funny how your friend feels like, oh, I never had this, let me spend. And me, I'm like, every penny I spend, I feel guilt for. Like, to the point where, like, I'm just buying stuff off of DHgate and it's all dupes of, like, real stuff. I'm just like, I'm not spending too much.
Walking around with Fendi everything, Fendi hat, Fendi this, Fendi that.
Oh, yeah. I bought a Prada purse and I was like, 30 doll hairs. Okay. But I'm not going to spend $1,200 on a purse. That's ridiculous. Even if I have the money, I'm not doing it. Like, I'm just not.
This is me right now with my little eggplant pen. Like, I don't know. Maybe I will one day.
Okay, well, you manifest that and manifest it for me too. When I have, like, you know, if I'm spending that much money on a purse and like shoes and stuff, that's when I'm like,
You know what my friend said, the one that I'm talking about? She's like, well, I just get one thing for myself every year. And I'm like, what's this one thing? She's like, I get myself some Louis shoes every year. And I'm like,
those are pricey. I don't even think
I know. I was looking into them because this year was my, like, well, not this year, last year's was my 30th birthday. And I was like, you know what, I've never bought anything like designer, like that designer things. And I was like, and she was like, I think that week was the one that she was talking about all of this stuff. And I was so frustrated with the whole not being able to travel and not being able to do all these things for my birthday that I was like, I'm just gonna spend this money on some Louis Vuitton boots that I really wanted. And I went to look for them. They're like $3,000. And I was like, this was my computer and I was like, never mind.
Me goes on TikTok, looks through 5 million freaking feeds about DHgate and like, who are the sellers that I need to contact in order to get like the fake stuff. But
yeah, I was like, okay, I'm not paying $3,000 for a pair of shoes. I was just kidding. I am so sorry. I feel so bad.
And we don't even have kids. Like, we don't have like legit responsibilities, like the responsibilities of kids to be like that.
Yeah, and then I was like, who cares? Why do I even want these things? And then I went into that, like, loophole of existential crisis of, like, all these things. I'm like, who even cares? Like, I'm just making the risk.
Like, I love you're like...
No, literally, that's why I was like, no. I'm making the rich people richer, like, by buying their...
Dude, capitalism.
...expensive stuff. I'm like, no, you're not doing that.
That's why I buy it off of DHK. I'm not even kidding. Like, China. Like, I'm not going to be investing more money in making the rich richer.
Yeah.
So I have one more guilt though.
Oh, yes.
This one's toxic. I don't know how to get rid of it. And I think this is what happens when I'm stressed and anxious. I like become overly obsessed with my weight. And I think it's because the only thing that I have control over, where I'm like, okay, if I'm like gaining 5 pounds, I'm like, okay, like I need to target it now, work out more, eat healthier. I don't know, probably stop eating at 6 p.m. and not eat until like in the next day. But I think right now what's going on is that I'm so anxious and like, I guess with the situation of like the pandemic and not being able to see Jay because of like long distance and the borders being closed. And I feel like I don't have control over anything, that I've entered that realm of like weighing myself daily. I weigh myself daily and like, I'll literally look at every point, whatever pound. And it gets so bad. I was telling Erica, I'm like, I weigh myself maybe like twice a day sometimes. Oh my gosh. And I go to the gym every day that I'm off, unless I feel really, really exhausted, where I'm like, okay, my body really needs to just rest, then I'll rest. But I've been doing that, and it's like, I started feeling guilty for certain things that I eat. Even if I'm like, I really am craving, I'll still eat it, but like, I'll feel guilty. Like, I'll eat it, and then like 5 minutes later, I'm like, why did I eat that? Like, I shouldn't have not ate that. I know. And like, I have pasta that I made and I was like, I don't even feel like eating it because I feel like it's going to make me gain weight. I
mean, it's going to make me gain 0.15 weight.
Yeah. I measured like every little ounce, and it sucks because it's like, I've become so obsessed with not gaining weight and I don't know how to stop feeling guilty for what I'm eating. Like, obviously, I'm not trying to eat, like, crazy food. Like, I don't like ice cream or, like, certain things that would be bad for you. But there's a lot of things that I do like that is not the healthiest. So, right now, I just feel like I have guilt in eating certain things. It sucks. Because, I mean, like, who wants to feel guilty for eating? Like, that's...
Yeah, I don't feel guilty for eating anything because I've gained so much weight. At this point, I'm like... And the thing is, like, it's not even that I, like, eat a whole bunch. It's just, it for me, it's, like, my health issues, like, hormonal stuff, health, GI stuff, that it's not even, like, relatable to, like, gaining or losing. Like, I just want to be healthy. And it's, like, I can't eat anything because my body hates everything. So once I'm eating, it's, like, I'm already going to F my body up today. So I might as well just go for it. But I, like, for example, like, I go to my mom's house. She's like, I have lentils with rice. I'm like, I can't eat lentils with rice. She's like, okay, do you want, like, a bagel with cream cheese? I'm like, I can't have gluten or cream cheese. And she's
You're doing, like, the gluten-free
anything? Huh?
You're doing, like, gluten-free now, right?
Yeah, I'm doing gluten-free, dairy-free.
That's hard.
And, like, most of the stuff that I have to eat, it has to be organic because I do feel the difference. So it's, like... And even like that, like, I won't lose any weight at all. So it's like, yeah. I know it's not that I'm
being... By the way, guys, she's not doing this for a fad. I like,
cause no, you haven't said I wish why. I was.
Yeah. You haven't said why. So I just want our listeners to know that this isn't like, oh, I'm just trying to be gluten-free just because, or I'm just
definitely
trying.
Not.
It's no, just, like, there's like health reasons.
That have been like crazy with my health. So it's, I didn't know it was that much of like, things that you eat really cause a lot of different things.
I don't really eat dairy. I mean, like, I love cheese. That's the one thing, I guess.
Cheese.
So hard for me to stop eating, but, like, I've never liked milk, so I drink a lot of, like, oat milk. And
alternative milks, yeah.
Yeah, like, almond milk, because it makes me, I don't know. I don't know if it's just the milk here, but it just doesn't make me feel too well. And, like, same thing, cheese makes me feel, like, so full, like, and, like, ugh. And yeah. But I mean, I still eat it because I just love cheese.
That's the hardest thing for me. I think for like most people are like, dude, cheese is a hard one.
But that, and then like gluten, I mean, I'm not really eating. I guess I am, but
I try as much as I can. I'm not gonna say the whole week I'll eat gluten-free, but it's not so much that I feel guilty. Like, people look at me like I'm crazy, but I'm like, if you only understood how sick I feel after having cream cheese or after having a bagel or after having this, like, you will understand. I'm like, I love that food. I wish I could have it, but I'm literally like, I look at it and I'm like, yeah, that's going to be a bad day. So I just walk away.
Yeah. Yeah, but you're, I mean, like, you have reasons behind it. It's yeah. Like, you're just like, oh, I'm not going to eat it just not to eat it, you know?
Yeah.
So.
But, I mean, I get it because I was like that, though, like, how you are now. Like, back in the day when I was going through a lot of different things, I was literally, like, 30 pounds less than I am now. And it was because I would weigh myself. Like, I would weigh myself every day. I would measure everything that I would eat. I would run every day.
Yeah.
To like, I was like, I was so obsessed with it. And then like, and still I will think that I was like bigger than what I looked. And I go back now in pictures and I'm like, oh my God, I was so tiny. Like, what the heck was I thinking? Oh, I was
such a that's little- me now. So right now I'm like, I'm 5'6", about 5'6". And I weigh between 128 and 130. Like I fluctuate between those.
I've never even been that tiny in my life.
Yeah, like, I fluctuate a lot.
Like, if I was like less than 130, I would disappear. Like, I would be like,
and still, like, my cousin was like, okay, like, chill with your body dysmorphia. Cause I went to Zara and had bought those shorts that I was telling you. And I bought them in a size 6 because I was like, dude, I'm just too big. Like, I even thought like the size 6 was not going to fit me. Like, I kept looking at the shorts and they look so tiny. I was like, no way, dude. Like, I'm gonna have to return them and get an even bigger size. And like, I actually got home, I traded them on and they were too big. So I had to get a size, like I had to go back, exchange them for a size 4, which looked even tinier. When I put them on, they were fine. But like, in my head, I don't know if I'm just like picturing myself bigger than what I am. But
sometimes that happens. That used to happen to me, like I said. Oh, and then I'm like,
I just get in like that funk of like, I'm,
dude, I actually, this is like random, but I actually talked to my therapist about that. Cause I mean, I still feel like that. And like I said, I feel like those moments of getting ready, that's why it's so hard for me, because it's like getting used to how my body looks now and everything. And with like weight gain and all this stuff, like, I'm like, I feel like I'm bigger than what I look like, even though I mean, I obviously am, but I feel like I'm like this huge thing. And I told my therapist, I was like, do I have body dysmorphia? Like, please tell me, like, what is it? Like, what is it? And then she's like, she did ask, like, if I've ever like tried to like throw up or like not eat at all during like a longer period of time, like maybe 2 to 3 days on in, like not like intentionally.
Yeah, I could never
lose weight. And I was like, I thought about it, to be honest, but I'm too much of a foodie to say. And then I started laughing and she's like, then I think what you have is more like a, like maybe confident self-confidence thing.
Yeah.
But it's not body dysmorphia, because body dysmorphia is like legit. Like you, it would be like, I don't know how to say it in English. I forgot the word anyway, but yeah, it's like a different type of thing, you know, but yeah. I think it's part of like self-confidence and stuff like that that makes you feel a certain way that, you know, you're like maybe uglier or like,
you ever feel like
or whatever it is,
do you ever feel like maybe you carry things from like the past too? Like, I don't know if you've ever dated anyone who maybe have told you like you're big or you're this or you're that.
Dude, this is a whole nother podcast.
Because that's the thing, like, I think something that I carry is like, I dated someone in the past who, you know who, and this was just one person, but they like made me feel like I was so big. And I even told you, like, remember how I said, I was like, oh, they said that my face was so big. And I was just like, they're like, oh, to be a Colombian girl, like, you don't have small facial features, or you don't have like a small face, or like,
I've always said that your features are so small in your face. And you're like,
I know, you told me that. I'm like, what? But they
like, said, like, I have big face syndrome. I'm like, that's not a thing.
I know, it was like my head's big. I don't know. But like, they used to say like I was just very tall, which, I mean, 5'6" for a Hispanic girl is pretty tall. But
I think he was insecure that he wasn't as tall as maybe a guy that
he was pretty tall. But
yeah, but I feel like maybe he wasn't as big or tall and he didn't feel like that. So it's kind of like, I feel like men sometimes do that. Project. Like, they transfer their insecurities to you with something else. And it's like, that's not fair.
Yeah.
You need to go.
But that was one of those things, because like this person would date like really short girls, like girls who were like 5'2", and then like it was one of those things that in my head I'm like, I wish I was so short, or like I wish I was really skinny. And like he would tell me like, oh, they were like a size 00 or a size 2, and I'm like, I will never in this lifetime.
Girls, I would never been a double zero. I've never been even a size one.
I was like,
maybe. And I always used to be like 115 pounds in high school. So it's like, I never, even in that, like, I was never.
I've always been like the same exact way. I think the smallest I got in high school was like, not even, because I wasn't even that small in high school. Like, probably the same. I think I was like 136 in high school, honestly. And then like at some point when I was with that person, I got down to 125, when you were like, okay, like, are you gonna eat now? Are you gonna eat a burger? So I was like this. I was like a skeleton, and I felt like finally I was the size I should have been being with that person, because they were like, their frame was pretty small. So I felt like I was so big. I felt like Elf. Like the movie Elf, where like he's like in the shower and he's going like this. And like the shower head's like down here. So I was like this, like, but I felt so huge. And I think like a part of me still carries that, where I'm like, maybe also.
It's so funny that like your mom and your sister are so tiny.
That too. My mom's 5 foot. I think that
also made you feel like.
I'm just like pretty.
So big.
Yeah, I know. I'm like, maybe. I think it's a lot of things. Like, I was very fat when I was a preteen, and then also my mom being like 5 foot and my sister being like 5'2", and just very small frames. They're very tiny, like really, really small Hispanic women. And I'm just like this immense, I'm not immense, but I just feel so much bigger than them, where I'm like, there were so many days where I would tell my sister, I was like, why the fuck?
Hey, but how tall are you? You're like 5'6".
Yeah. I'm 5'5", so 5'6".
5'5", whatever.
Who says that? But like, I was telling my sister, I was like, yeah, because I'm so big. And she's like, what are you talking
about? I know.
Because all her friends are American girls, and they're like 5'8", 5'9". Yeah. And she's like, you think you're tall? She's like, you need to come see my friends. She's like, they're freaking tall. And I'm like, no, dude, I'm so tall. But now that like, I'm really, I guess like now that I'm getting older, and like, I really do love fashion and things like that, I realize like, oh, I kind of do like being tall, because like certain things, yeah, just
you can actually wear pants that are in style, like nobody else can. I could never, like,
and I have certain coats, like things like this, like I had walked into Madewell and like this lady was like, oh my god, I love your height, like I love what you're wearing, it just looks so well presented. And then I realized like, oh, maybe like being a little bit taller isn't as bad, because certain clothing does look very well, and like maybe it wouldn't look as well if I was shorter. Like
a plastic bag.
But I do envy the fact that like people who are shorter can wear like huge ass heels and things like that. Cause I'm like,
okay, but who's wearing heels right now?
Okay, no one. But like, I'm saying for when they can.
Yes.
Cause I'm like, that's so nice. Like, I would love to wear like nice ass heels and not feel like I'm fucking Sasquatch. Like,
oh my God, so exaggerated.
I'm kidding. Like, when I'm with my boyfriend, he's actually pretty tall, so it's fine. He's still taller than me when I wear heels. But
there you go. That's all. That's all that matters.
Yeah, but if I'm alone, then I just feel like
all, like you can step on all the little small.
I know. I need to be like confident and proud. But yeah, that's like so many weird things that like processes in our minds.
Yeah, I think the one of the final ones that I'm going to say, it's like feeling guilty for spending time alone, for like wanting to spend time alone.
Yeah.
That's one for me that sometimes, like, even with, you know, it goes hand in hand with what we were saying before, sometimes like with canceling plans. But it also happens, especially I live with somebody.
Oh, yeah.
Fiance, which I love very much. But I do need my time alone. I'm a person who needs, like, I'm an introvert, so I recharge when I'm by myself. And I like to have, you know, our days off are together. So our days off, we're together all day.
Yeah.
And then on the days that I work, and he works, like, when we see each other at night. And it's, like, I never get, like, that alone time where I'll, like, sit down, do my thing, you know, blah, blah, blah. And I was so used to that. for such a long time. And now I think we're getting the hang of it now, because it's like, I'm like, okay, you go do your thing and I'll be over here doing my thing and, you know, whatever. But it's, sometimes it does feel guilty because he's like, but I want to be with you. And I like, I don't know how to say like, but I don't.
Yeah. I feel like Jason and I'm like, I'm more like Jason. And I think my partner is more like you.
Yeah.
But I'm also,
it's not like I don't want to be next to him. It's not like I'm like, oh my God, I'm so annoyed. It's just like, I need to like do my thing and then to be able to like be with him. And
I'm a mix of both. Like sometimes I know I really do want to spend a lot of time with like my significant other, where I'm like, okay, like I want attention. I want, and I only want attention from him. Like, it's not like I want all these guys' attention. No, I just want his attention. But I do realize, like, even when we first started dating, that that was something very, very important to him, was space. And he made that clear from the fucking beginning. So it's not like he changed overnight. And he's like, I love you. I think, you know, you're an amazing person. I think you're incredible, but I do like my space. And I think that's something that I've learned with him, is like, he's taught me, like, just because you're not with that person 24/7 doesn't mean that they don't love you or they don't care for you. It's just they need their own time. And I do appreciate my own time too. It's not like I want to be with someone every second, because I'm also starting to realize that, like, I used to be very extroverted when I was younger, and now the older I get, the more introverted I get. Or I'm like very, I play both cards, where I'm like, sometimes being around certain people fuels me, and then being around other people like drains me. So I need a recharge on my own. And like, there's just things that I love doing on my own, whereas there's other days where like I love doing things with him. But he has made it clear, and I think that if we ever live together, I would definitely keep that in mind, that like he wants to do his own thing. And I know it. I just know it. And like, now I don't like try to text him as much or get bothered if he doesn't, or if he doesn't call, then I'm just like, okay, like, you know, that's something really, really important in him. I trust him. I know he's not up to anything bad, but like, he loves like his own time. And I think it's important for both people in a relationship to have time. And like, no one should feel guilty for that, because it's important to still be an individual while dating someone, because you don't want to lose yourself completely. Like, you don't always want to be a we, like Erica says, because she's like, I. But it's important to be like separate from your partner as well and do your own things that makes you feel you. Because if you don't, then you're going to start losing yourself, and then you don't feel like who you are. And like, that's what makes you happy, I feel like, at the end of the day, is being someone who you were before you even met this person. Right?
I completely agree with that too.
Yeah.
I don't know what other ones. I think we covered a few or a lot of them so far. But if you guys have any other ones that maybe you're like, oh my gosh, I totally feel guilty because this and that, but I know I shouldn't, and I don't know why am I like this. just let us know. I think we're gonna attempt to put our YouTube video and our TikToks, so you can also, we'll let you know through the Instagram how you can find us through there, or give you the links or whatever it is. And yeah, I don't know if you need anything else to add.
No, I think we did list a bunch of things. I think this is pretty good. And I think we'll just post it on YouTube and TikTok and all the media platforms. So anyways, thank you guys for coming and listening, and stay tuned for more. Eventually, yes, we'll be doing truths or shots.
Oh, Lord.
I'm so stoked.
She's really going for this.
I mentioned it on here, so now you have to do it.
I know. Or I just edit it out. Just kidding.
I even did the, like, SpongeBob kid face, though.
Yeah. All right, guys. You guys have a great day, and talk to you soon.
Bye. Bye. Thanks for coming.